sunshine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, g'day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. It is Stockman's Veterinary Clinic Happy Cap Hour today. So we'll just get her started off with a little bit of weather. Man, the weather looks great. The forecast looks awesome. Unless you got hay down. That's all I got to say about that. More on that later on in the show as far as hay baling. 85 degrees, humidity's 58. Winds out of south southwest at 18 miles an hour with wind gusts up to 25 miles an hour. I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming up with you for you here pretty soon, a couple segments from now. But I will tell you that there's rain in forecast every day till Saturday. And then I looked at the Long Ranger starting next Wednesday. They've already got 50-60% chance of rain for 3 days in a row. So looks like if it doesn't rain in your area in the next few days, you better get your hay down because it might be raining next week. A lot of great, I drove around a lot yesterday on my trip to John Deere and Clinton to get a little repair done to a baler belt. And a lot of good-looking alfalfa in the country. So, anyway, it's great to get this rain, but here we go again. It's starting to look like last year, not guaranteed. I'm not a meteorologist or a climatologist, but it's starting to trend just like last year. You thought it was never going to rain, and then when it rained in June and July and parts of August like it's not supposed to. But anyway, it's trending like that. But 3 to 5 inches, according to the climatologist for the Mesonet, our state climatologist, 3 to 5 inches expected in western Oklahoma in the next 3 to 4 days. Flood warnings are out for parts of the state. I'm not sure about our part of the state, but I just got a text from Dr. Taylor Mouse. Let's see what she has to say. Not a problem. I do have time, Doc. Anyway, tomorrow is their anniversary, 1 year tomorrow. And the Stockman's Veterinary Clinic would like to say thank you to everyone for allowing us to provide veterinary service to our clients and their animals over the last year. Our first year has been very successful due to all of you. Remember, if your livestock or pets are in need or care, please give them a call at 580-225-0200, 0200. Easy phone number. Even I can remember that number, and I always do. I don't even have them in the phone. Also providing after-hour service as well as farm calls, Dr. Taylor Mouse and crew are gladly here to continue to serve you and your animal needs. Anyway, congratulations to Dr. Mouse and her crew down there for 1 year anniversary. We took Gail and Rick Muncrief and I took their calves in Friday to get them worked, and we got there on time. I was 1 minute early, but Dr. Mouse had a deal going on with the horse there that she had to resolve first. And we got the calves worked. Everybody pitched in and helped. And actually, they're a pretty funny bunch to work with after you get to know them. And, of course, me, I'm always running my mouth doing something. But Dr. Mouse said I was being awful quiet. And I told her if she'd start stocking maybe some beers down there that I get riled up pretty easy. You know, just... I mean, it's customer service. I'm not talking about beer for her help, but I'm just talking about for customers like me. Anyway, she she didn't buy into that. So anyway, congratulations again. Had a great time. They did a great job on the calves. Got them in, got them out, and took them back to their mamas. And I've checked them 3 times since they were worked, because there was 21 babies in that bunch. And out of the 21, I think, if I remember right, 16 were bull calves. So lots of cutting going on that day. Anyway, we got that all worked out, and thanks again for that. Well, let's check out the market real quick. Let me update it. We are streaming live on Facebook, streaming live on KCOFM.com, streaming live on your app, Paragon Communications app, free app, that is, on your phone. And we got it going on. The Today in Ag Show started just a few weeks before Dr. Mouse opened up. So it was, hey, we're celebrating our 1 year together. That's a good thing. Live cattle. Looks like everything is in the red except for oil. And it's at $117 a barrel. We didn't need that. But live cattle, June, $131.47. Live cattle for August, $131.32. Live cattle for October, $137.12. Live cattle for December, $143.05. Feeder cattle actually for August is up like 2 cents, but it's at $166.35. September is $169.30. Lean hogs is June, $108.60. July, $108.85. August, $107.40. Cotton is at a $139.42. And sugar for Bill Dance out there at Delhi is up 0.0007. So I don't even know what that comes up to, but it's not even a full penny. It's at 19 cents a pound for sugar. Let's check out the grain market for Oklahoma. Cash grain prices this morning as of 11 o'clock is update. There we go. Hard red winter wheat, $11.11. Corn's at $7.83. Milo's at $7.41. Soybeans are at $16.16 a bushel. So there's your markets right now. So let's see what kind of chaos we got going on with all the markets. What people are thinking. Wheat futures plunged in overnight trading amidst talks to reopen grain exports from Ukraine. The Russian President Putin said over the weekend that he would be amenable to allowing grain shipments from Ukraine, which has been under attack by Russia for several months, to resume. I myself personally don't see that. If you're at a war with the country, why would you let them ship anything to get more income back into that country to buy more stuff to fight you? I just don't see this. I'm no expert, but that's what I'm looking at. Global importers have shunned Russian grain, and Ukraine wheat has been stuck in storage for the country since the attack started back in February. Also contributing to declining prices overnight is improved prospects for the U.S. hard red winter wheat crop, which is growing in the southern plains. it's done around here in Oklahoma. I mean, it's not, the harvest is not done, but any prospects of growing is not happened for a few weeks now. I guess there could have been some improvements up in northern Kansas, but there's on the Oklahoma Wheat Commission, I've seen a couple of deals where the wheat in the middle part of Oklahoma, southern part, was doing pretty decent. But southwestern Oklahoma and stuff, the reports are not good. And I'm going to get into that more heavily tomorrow on tomorrow's show. As much as 6 times the normal amount of rain has fell in central Kansas and central Oklahoma in the past week, according to the National Weather Service. Parts of the Oklahoma and Texas Panhandle also seem better than average rainfall in the past week. Wheat futures for July delivery plunged 28.5 cents to $11.29 a bushel, Overnight on Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures lost 28 and a quarter cents to $12.06 a bushel. Corn futures fell 3.5 cents to $7.73 a bushel. Soybean futures were higher overnight as rain continues to fall in part of the northern corn belt, further delayed planting of the crop. Precipitation is forecast today from western Nebraska, northeast into northern Minnesota. Weather maps showed last week 72% of the U.S. soybean crop was in the ground, behind the prior five-year average of 79%. Growers have also sped up the speed of planting, but producers in the northern plains may struggle to get the last of their seeds in if wet weather continues. The U.S. Department of Agriculture is scheduled to release its weekly crop progress report, probably here in just about another hour. Soybeans for July delivery jumped 10 and a quarter cents to $17.42 a bushel in overnight trading. Well, flood warnings have been issued for parts of Kansas and Oklahoma. Flood warnings and advisories are in effect for parts of southeastern Kansas and northeastern Oklahoma this morning, according to the National Weather Service. I seen a picture my daughter posted on Facebook. She lives in Cottonwood, Kansas, which is just west of Emporia, and it looked like a river coming through her yard, so they've been getting hammered up there pretty good. Multiple rounds of showers and thunderstorms are forecast starting late this afternoon and continuing into Wednesday night as a slow-moving cold front enters the region. 1 to 3 inches of rain, with some potentially seeing more in that area. In the northern plains, meanwhile, strong storms produce heavy precipitation and are expected through the night. The threat of severe weather and local heavy rainfall is forecast to rapidly develop from parts of the upper Midwest into the southern plains later on tonight. And that's what our forecast is showing. Anyway, today is Hay Day Tuesday also, along with Stockman's Veterinary Clinic Happy Cap Hour. If you're watching on Facebook or on the website, I got their cap on, and it is that day. Well, when I come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about hay. I'm going to talk a little bit about my adventures this weekend, and not all of them were good. Some were, some weren't. So be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
The first time I ever saw a flyer for XIT Auctions, I didn't know how to pronounce it. I called it Exit Auctions, and I said it on air while hosting Tradio, which made it pretty embarrassing. Aubrey Latham had to call up here at the station and make sure I knew how to say it correctly. XIT is moving a lot of property and a lot of farm equipment. For all the info, go to their website, xitauctions.com. xitauctions.com. XIT Auctions, ready to work for you.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
I farm and ranch for a living, that's all I do. So I've got property and equipment, irrigation systems, my house, my barns, and Mickey has everything now. I decided one day to call him, and I actually was having lunch with a friend, and he had his number, and we actually ring him up at lunch, and he was at my barn at my office that evening. Sat down, I showed him my deck sheets, he took them, and was back in touch with me within 2 days or less with everything, and I pulled the trigger. He come back to the office, was signed all the papers, and wrote him a check. I've never actually been to his office. I think it's in Mangum, but I couldn't get there right now without looking it up. My name's Bandy Silk. My family and I farm and ranch in the Delhi community. I'm a fifth-generation farmer and rancher. I'm glad I've contacted Mickey Lively for my insurance needs.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
We strive in our cow herd for high-efficiency cattle. We want lots of gain with low input. That's what we strive for. We want our customers to be able to wean the biggest calf without putting much money into that. We try to prove that through our commercial herd, and then if they prove themselves there, then we make them registered, and we chase those bloodlines. Lori White, B&L Red Angus, blredangus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Well, we know it's muggy outside because it's 86 degrees. The heat index is 90. The winds are out of the south-southwest at 15 miles an hour. And wind gusts up to 20. And humidity's at 56. And I'm telling you, I'll give you a few little parts of my adventures this weekend. Well, Friday, I told you guys we worked cattle. Turned them out. Saturday, what we have? Oh, the Kiwanis chapter over at Sayre put on a deal to raise money for the kids at Sayre. It all went well. I think they were completely, if I remember right, there was 20-something teams, two-man teams, 27-hole tournament. Turned out good. The Kiwanis Club cooked hamburgers and brats and hot dogs and all kinds of stuff for everybody. It was really good. So, great job, Kiwanis Club, for putting that on to raise money for the kids in the community of Sayre. A lot of people from Elk City was there. There was people actually from everywhere over there, if I remember right. I don't remember what I did after that. Oh, I think I come home and started planting some more of the garden. I know a lot of people's already got their garden planted. I'm running a little bit behind, but on purpose. I live close to the river. Had a few freezes. If I would have had my tomatoes and stuff out, would have got hammered. And I'm not having very good luck with my tomatoes. But now they're looking better. Got them in the ground. Planted some okra. There's some guys planting corn, so it's time to plant okra. And I'm experimenting with some late season sweet corn. I'm probably going to regret it because it's probably going to be tasseling out right in the heat of the day or heat of the month come July or later, and probably ain't gonna work, but it's an experiment. So experiments are either a yes or no. We're gonna figure out which one it is. We did Sunday morning. I went to help my neighbor Gary, Mr. Gary Ripto, bale up some hay. Got down and he called me to know if I'd help him bale it. I said sure. Well, I hadn't fired the tractor up much this year because I didn't have any hay to put down. And besides down at Granite, but Daryl's taking care of that down there, the baling part. Filled my tractor up. It had about an eighth of a tank in it. It's a 4960 John Deere, 220 horsepower, front wheel assist, older model, but it's my baby. It works. Yes, it's a little big for pulling a baler, but it's all right. It'll be fine. $501.20 to fill it up. I about puked. I don't know how everybody's gonna do it, but it was, man, just crazy. $501 to fill it up. Well, went over, start baling, third bale, belt broke. First, I've had two 569 John Deere balers. First time a belt's ever broke on me. I've actually never even twisted one. I've been lucky and got that thing fixed. Luckily, Gary had some pins in his tractor or in his baling tractor. Got that fixed, everything back to normal. Went back to baling, baled quite a bit. And then that was Sunday morning. And then I had to leave. Went and picked up calves to take to Route 66 processing, be processed, had five of them. Learn a valuable lesson. Pick the cool time of the evening to go get the calves and bring them back. And I did a little more experimenting. where we had the calves, and the sun was 104 degrees Sunday afternoon. But in the shade, it was 11 degrees cooler. That's the difference between shade and the sun when it's 104 degrees. It was actually might have been 12 degrees, but anyway, way cooler. Won't do that again. And they're fine. They end up being just fine. Watered them down and got them cooled off, and they were just hot. They're black cattle. They're Angus. They're going to get hot. Got that done. Come home. Worked on the garden. Next morning, yesterday morning, went to finish baling the hay. Half a bale, another belt broke. Lesson learned from all this is at the end of this year, when I get through baling, I am going to replace all those pins in the belts where they latch together. That's all there is to it. And, you know, I had Justin on here from John Deere 6 weeks ago, 2 months ago, and that was one of his deals to be prepared for this season is always replace those pins every year, and some guys even say every 1,000 bales. Well, I had 6,000 bales on this baler. I got 6,000 bales, well, 5,800 to be exact, and never had any problems. I think I had 8,000 on the other, never had any problems, but it came and it hit me hard. But this belt yesterday wrapped up around that tension arm in there like a rattlesnake. I mean, it was bad. And luckily, my neighbor Casey come over and helped me get it out of there. And then we messed with some other stuff, and I ended up taking one of the belts over to John Deere to have him put new hinges on and stuff on that belt. But lesson learned, I am going to change those pins out, because once those pins have been in there like these 5,800 bales, you're not going to get them out. You're not going to twist them out. You're not going to punch them out. They're already grooved up, and a lot of you guys already know this, but take this as a hint. Change those pins, because there's really no good way to get those old pins out of there if they've been in there for a couple, 2 or 3 years like mine have. But I did hear a trick. Casey was telling me that if you do change your pins out regularly, that you can take a cordless drill. If you get it pulled out enough to get a cordless drill on it, you can take that cordless drill and reverse it, and that thing will slither right on out. So it was a pretty cool idea. Never even thought of that, but it works. This morning, got over there, finished the hay since I didn't accomplish nothing yesterday. And we got, I finished up this morning, started about 2:30, finished up about 8 o'clock, pulled out the gate, pulled into the old homestead place, front yard to dump the little bale, and never seen it, wasn't even actually looking for it. Dumped the little bale so Gary wouldn't have to haul it out with the tractor, got on the road, started speeding up, and I felt something. Speed up some more, felt it pretty good. I turned back, it felt like I was hitting a speed bump on the right side of my tractor. Lo and behold, found me a deer horn. The end of the point of the horn, number one, you want to call it, the main beam, it was in the lug of the tire, thank goodness, and buried deep. But the eye guard of the horn, this is a big buck horn too, it's a big shed. It cut a pretty good groove in the main part of the, not where the lug is, but in between the lugs. So I stopped, obviously, called my wife. She brought me a Sawzall up there, and because I wasn't going to finish running the tire, and cut the antler off and left part of it in the tire for a plug. And probably today when I get home, I might go down there and buff it off and just super glue it in there, sort of stay in there, and be cheaper than a new tire or calling the tire guy to fix it. But so that's how that went. That was my morning. I promise you, I'm not going to touch nothing else today. It was just a normal day on the farm. Everybody goes through these deals. Very few days do you have perfect days out there. But thanks, Casey, for helping me, and thanks, Gary, for inviting me to help him bale his hay up before the rain got here, and the rain is coming. Let's go over some of the Texas-Oklahoma weekly livestock summaries from last week, and I'll get into the hay prices in the next segment. But in Texas, compared to last week, feeder steers and heifers sold steady to $2 higher. Stocker calves sold with much higher undertone on good demand. Much of the trading area received over an inch of rain to benefit local summer pastures that are suffering from the drought. And this is in Texas. Supply included 81% feeder cattle, 15% slaughter cattle, 4% replacement cattle, and 8% bred cows. Feeder cattle supply over 600 pounds was 44%. Here's some of the numbers. They had 5,134 head go through the sale barn last week in Texas, compared to 6,400 the week prior. So they were down a little bit. But I'm going to say part of that was probably because of the holidays. Let's hear some numbers. Steers, let's start with some 380-pounders because this is a big group. They brought anywhere. Their average price was $210.53, which is still good. Here's some 400-pounders. Average price was $194, but some of them were bringing up over $2. And 526-pounders were $1.74 to $1.81. 600-pounders were $160 to $168. 700-pounders, $152 to $157. And we got some 800-pounders, a big group of 800-pounders. Excuse me, 854s brought $1.47. And then they had a large group, 194 head of 940-pounders brought $1.36. That's pretty good. Yeah. Oklahoma, compared to last week, feeder steers were $1 to $3 lower. Feeder heifers, $1 to $3 higher. Steer calves, $2 to $8 lower. Heifer calves, mostly steady. Demand moderate for most all classes. The drought conditions did improve some is rainfall in most of the areas of the state the past couple weeks. Up to 9¾ inches of rain fell in some of the areas of western, some areas through western Oklahoma. I don't remember any of us getting that, but anyway, most of western Oklahoma got somewhere from 1 to 2 inches. Nevertheless, it was welcome. More rain in the forecast for this week. The warm, windy weather has wheat pastures maturing quickly, and harvest will begin soon after the dry up. Looks like slaughter cows sold steady. Slaughter bulls were $1 to $2 higher. Packer demand moderate to good. Supply chain included 91% feeder cattle, 8% slaughter cattle, 1% replacement cattle. Feeder cattle supply over 600 pounds. 67%. Oklahoma, 25,094 head went through the sale barn. Week before, 34,000 went through the sale barn. Amazing how that come down after a rain. Anyway, let's go over some of the steer prices. Here's some 314 pounders, a big group of 61 sold for $204.14 average. 400 pounders, big group here, 206. Sold for $207. 527-pounders, $1.91. And then we have some bigger 500-pounders, 566, brought $1.73, and they were unwinged. And then a huge group, 567 head, average weight, 622, brought up to $1.78, with $1.6635 being the average. And then here's some fancy ones, as it says. Fancy ones average 614, steers 181.41. When I come back, I'll answer some of the text messages that's coming in, and I'll get me a drink of water because my allergies kicked in big time here a couple hours ago. Plus, I've been up since 2, so that probably has something to do with it. I'll have some hay reports, go over the drought reports. It's summer. We need to be thinking about mosquitoes for horses on the horses part of it. And we got water and shade. You guys remember last year I talked a lot about water and shade, and I mentioned it a while ago that there was 11 degrees difference between the sun and the shade yesterday at 104 degrees. I'm going to talk a lot about that and keep it talking about it this summer. We need to take care of our cattle just like we do our pets, and they'll produce a lot better for you if you do. We'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is the basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stalkers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, May 23rd. 1,503 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 337 brought 215. 5 at 460 brought 173. 4 at 691 brought 154. 56 at 809 brought 154. 61 at 882 brought 144.25. 13 head of heifers at 325 brought 169.25. 4 at 494 brought 146. 2 at 570 brought 140. 24 at 851 brought 137. 9 at 1033 brought 120. Butcher cows were 35. 5 to 86. Butcher bulls brought 75 to 115.50. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Yeah, Brandon had a pretty good sale there Friday. They had over 1,000 head, so I got some of those prices coming up later on, just that I go over normally. One of the texts I got in on the text line is a person sent me two pictures of two bull elk quarter mile outside of Custer City yesterday afternoon on the wheat field. So it's good. I love elk. I've seen elk down there by my house one time and never seen them again. And it was crazy. My father-in-law, Bruce, was with me, and was coming back from Willow and coming down to River Road. Anyway, he said, do they have any elk in here? And I said, yeah. I know Bert Hudson's got those elk over there by his place here on the south side, southwest corner of Elk City, blah, blah, blah. And we turned around that corner there. I said, yeah, there's a lot of deer right in here. And I stopped, slammed the brakes on. And there was a 6x6 bull elk out there with them deer. And he had just brought, this is a no lie. You can ask Bruce. Jimmy was after that bull tag after, because this was a big old bull. 6x6, pretty good sized bull elk. Anyway, never seen him again. Nobody else did either. But Bruce was with me, so that is the truth. Let's see what the weather is right now. We've got the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming up for you shortly. 87 degrees. Heat index is 92. It's muggy out there. 56% humidity. Winds are out of the south at 17 miles an hour with wind gusts up to 72. I'm loving this forecast. Lots of rain in it. We need a pond filler. I'm sorry. I hate flooding, but we need a pond filler. These rains are nice. I'm not going to complain ever about a rain, but I'm telling you, we do need a pond filler. All right, let's check out the new drought map that came out last week. We had a holiday weekend, so things were good. Most of Western Oklahoma is still in a D3. Where'd that map go? There it is. There's the map. Roger Mills, part of Roger Mills, most of Dewey, all of Beckham, parts of Custer, Warshtaw, all of Greer, all of Harmon, all of Jackson are still in the D3 drought. Now, the D4 drought deal has gone away in those counties right there that was there last week, and there's a little bit left in the Panhandle. I'm going to say that's Texas County. But we're still in a drought. D3 is still severe, very severe. And we get some of these rains coming in, it's going to help catch us up, because I dug a hole the other day, and about a foot down, there's moisture. It's not wet, it's moist. How's that? You get down below that foot for the next 18 to 24 inches, it's still dry, so we need way more rain. It's helping us on top with grass and stuff, but I don't know. I guess these guys do the reports don't realize that this wheat in Oklahoma, most of it anyway, I don't know about the northern part of it, is already turned, and these rains ain't doing that wheat no good, but actually it's reverse. Talking to one of my friends, is a flowback hand up by Kingfisher. He said, if it rains again, he said, these combines are sitting right here. He said, I don't know what they're going to do, because he said they were getting after yesterday, and he said, you couldn't see, with even with the wind blowing, he said, you couldn't, he said, you wouldn't believe the rust and the stuff going up in the air. So, like I said, I'm not an expert. I just talk it, repeat it on the deal. Then I had a friend text in from down in the Dell Highway, and it's not building it, so don't everybody get excited. But RH, that I call him, said he changes his pins every 4,000 bales, and most of the time, even at 4,000 bales, they're already worn halfway through. The one pin that I did get out in a piece that you could actually tell what happened yesterday on that one belt, it was three quarters of the way through at least, and had been on there 5,800 bales. So yeah, but anyway, I got four of the pins, four of the eight pins replaced on it, and I just learned a valuable lesson. Never had any trouble. Why would I have trouble? Well, then when you need it, you have trouble. That's what happens. And John Deere took care of me. Justin and them guys over there did a really good job getting that belt repaired for me, getting my parts, and getting me out of there and back over towards Oklahoma. So anyway, all right, well, let's see here. Mosquitoes for horses. Just because we're in a drought doesn't mean that the mosquitoes will be, they're not going to be around. That doesn't matter. And I want to resolve a myth that everybody says. You know how you hear people at the grocery store or church or coffee shop, man, I hope it's a cold, cold winter, get rid of these bugs. That's a myth. Matter of fact, the colder the winter, the bigger the mosquitoes, I think. They know how to protect themselves. Ticks, they all know how to protect them. If you ever been to Canada and gone fishing or hunting up there, those mosquitoes up there are big as sparrows, birds down here, and they will eat you alive up there. So colder doesn't mean that that's going to get rid of any bad bugs. It's just not the way it works. Mother Nature, she has them here for a reason, and it's not to be froze out, not hardly. While much of the western half of the United States endures near historical drought levels, one might anticipate this year's mosquito season to be a walk in the park. Wrong answer. No rain, no problem for mosquitoes. Just because we don't have rain doesn't mean we won't have mosquitoes, explains the Department of Head of Plant Pathology at OSU here in Stillwater, and former livestock Justin Talley, professor, I'm going to guess. Some of the most significant West Nile virus outbreaks years have been associated without rainfall. Be aware, just because you don't see water doesn't mean there's no breeding areas around. Dr. Talley shared how the Culex mosquito, which is responsible for transmitting core equine diseases such as West Nile virus, can populate in the most unexpected places. Standing, puddling water is not needed. One would think that wet years equal more equine West Nile virus cases. However, the type of mosquitoes transmitting these equine diseases can develop in a muddy water or a storm drain. There's lots of water you don't see. Even a tiny hole in a tree with just a little bit of water is enough for the Culex mosquito to repopulate within. The thing about mosquitoes is that they're very diverse in the habitat, and they can modify too in their adaptive behaviors that allow them to be successful, says Dr. Talley. As a risk remains for mosquito-transmitted equine diseases, even in areas impacted by the drought, is your horse protected? Once our nighttime temperatures become above 50 or daytime is above 80, which we are already there, the likelihood of when mosquitoes will develop is that's the time. This is the time. Horses are threatened with mortality rates up to 90% from mosquito-transmitted diseases. I did not know that until I read this earlier. The big three equine diseases transmitted by mosquitoes are West Nile virus, Eastern equine, EEE. I'm just going to say that because that word right there looks like a mile long, and you guys know I'll mess that one up. And then the WEE, which is the Western equine with that mile long word there. I wish Dr. Taylor had come in today. She could probably said that one. Anyway, there's four tips to protect your horses before we take a break and get back to the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. One, vaccinate your horses. Horses all across the country are at risk for West Nile virus. It is important to vaccinate horses before or at least early into the mosquito season, probably like last month if I was guessing right. Vaccines provide horses with long-lasting immunity. When horses receive the two initial doses, then after that they have a yearly booster. We always will have a good response 7 days post-vaccination, says Dr. Hawkins. Number two, hang livestock fans. We know that putting fans on horses will prevent some of the mosquitoes from feeding on them. It's good. Natural thing to utilize. It's a it needs to be a slow moving fan like a box fan in your barn by your stall, or it won't do much. Or you can have your horses outside in this 50 mile an hour Oklahoma wind, and that'll act as a fan. That'll work out pretty good. Tip number three, get rid of standing water. Dr. Hawkins encourages the horse owners to eliminate as much standing water possible and empty and clean their horses' water sources at least weekly. And the last tip, before we go to break, minimize horses' exposure. Keep horses inside the barn under fans during prime mosquito feeding times, which include dusk and dawn, encourages Dr. Hawkins. Take these steps to keep your horses safe and comfortable as mosquitoes make their presence known, continuing learning about horse health. There you go. There's your horse tip of the week. As I remember, I got to tell you this so I don't remember. In case I don't remember, how's that? This Saturday will be the first Saturday in June. So Hobart Stockyard will be having their sheep and goat sale. But also remember, 4th of July is the first weekend of next month, so they're not going to be having a sale, so they're going to do it the week prior. So there's two sales in June, the first weekend and the last weekend at the Hobart Stockyards. For any questions for the sheep and goat sale, call Mr. Smiley himself, Rex Fleming, down there at the Hobart Stockyards in Kiowa County, at the county seat of Hobart. So anyway, got any questions for that, just remember that. When I come back, I'll have your Long Ranger forecast, and you're going to love it. And then we'll finish out with some water and shade tips. And never know what else I might come up with. Anyway, this is Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
The first time I ever saw a flyer for XIT Auctions, I didn't know how to pronounce it. I called it Exit Auctions, and I said it on air while hosting Tradio, which made it pretty embarrassing. Aubrey Latham had to call up here at the station and make sure I knew how to say it correctly. XIT is moving a lot of property and a lot of farm equipment. For all the info, go to their website, xitauctions.com. xitauctions.com. XIT Auctions, ready to work for you.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. and we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Ryan Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hello, this is Sean Wyatt. I have a cow-calf operation, and I buy my feed from Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. Kent will provide the best service possible. I highly recommend giving SEI Agritech a call about your feed and minerals.
If you want better feed and better results, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City, your local Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, located on South Randall in Elk City.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. iPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local iPro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmandGarden.com.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Wound up. Yeah, I am. Hey, if you're watching on Facebook or on our website, check this out. Sean Wilson just bought a quarter of a beef from me, and he already brought me the check. I texted him yesterday, and quite the man. We'll see if it cashes, but anyway, he did. He brought me the check, and he's up to date. Anyway, it was a good deal. We got all kinds of things going on. I had a cancellation on my beef, one of my beefs, and I put it on social media last night. And I could have sold three more. And I'm going to be trying to, if anybody wants some, we can help them out, though. Don't worry. Don't be bashful. Call me. I'll get you some beef. Hobart Farm and Garden, Long Ranger forecast. Currently, it's 87 degrees. Heat index at 92. There we go. 54% is the humidity. South winds at 14 miles an hour. Gust up to 19. Today, 40% chance of severe thunderstorms, 94 for a high. Tonight, severe thunderstorms, 65 for a low, 80% chance of rain. Tomorrow morning, 60% chance of rain, 77 for a high. That'll be a break. We're going back into springtime. We've been doing this for 3 weeks. First couple days, hot. Next 3 days, cool. Get your hoodie back out. Then here comes Saturday, we're going to be back in the 80s, but tomorrow night we have a 70% chance of rain. Thursday we have a 20% chance of rain with a high of 69. Thursday night, 30% chance of thunderstorms. Friday, slight chance of rain showers, 20%, for 74 for a high. And then Friday night, 20% chance of rain, 64 low. Saturday, mostly sunny. Looks like it could be a little breezy. 86 for a high. So that's your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. I'll tell you guys a little more about next week's forecast tomorrow. I'm doing a little checkup on our meteorologists and seeing how good they are. I already screenshot what they predicted next week. I'm going to see what their prediction is tomorrow to see if they've already changed their story. I mean, to their behalf, it's a science, but it's also weather's a prediction. So I know we all get frustrated when they were especially last month with needing rain, and 50% chance of rain, next day 20% chance of rain, and then we didn't get nothing. All right, hay report. Hay prices look like they are creeping up. They got to be creeping up. Input costs are ridiculous. I just told you what it cost for me to fill my tractor up to bale 80 acres of ground. And no, I didn't use that whole $501. I don't mean that. But I mean, that's just a part of it. California, $360 to $400 per ton on premium alfalfa. Colorado's at $240. Idaho's at $320 to $350. Iowa's at $200 to $250. Kansas is anywhere from 160 to 410, that 410 being delivered, and this is all on premium alfalfa that I'm reading. Missouri, 160 to 250. Montana is at 300. New Mexico is at 250 to 400. Oklahoma is at 200 to 280 delivered, and I'm not biting into that because I wasn't selling any hay not delivered for no $200 right now. Not alfalfa. Not irrigated alfalfa anyway. Let's see here. Texas, 260 to 340. That was delivered. And this is all on premium alfalfa. Let's slide on over here to the grass hay prices. Let's see who's the highest going right now. It looks like California premium grass hay is at 260 to 350 a ton. Kansas, nothing available. Missouri, 140 a ton. Oklahoma, 120 a ton. And Texas is anywhere from 180 to 330. And I really think that's what's going on in Oklahoma, too. Somewhere around 180 and up on grass. And this is all on premium grass. So there you go. And this is the USDA deal. And not everybody reports their hay sales to the USDA. But anyway, I want to know real quick, is anybody out there, have they purchased an Apache hay wagon that Everett sells up there? Has anybody used one of those? And if so, I want to know what your success from it. If not, are there any good points or bad points? That trailer looks cool and it looks like it saved some trouble. One of the things I want to know is can you lift a bale of hay up there with a Dewey's bed that's got extension arms on it and put in there where you don't have to take a tractor out there to load it up? Is one of my deals I'm looking for. If somebody has one of them, please let me know. Text in at 580-225-9697. All right, the great Johnson grass debate. It was in the Hay and Forage Grower email that I got, and it is. It's a big debate. A lot of people think, I don't want Johnson grass. It's poisonous. As long as there's rain and it's not stressing, it's fine. Johnson grass is no different than Sudan or any of those other forages because it is all of them are our grass. Johnson grass was originally brought over here, I believe, from Europe, but I think from the UK to be made as hay. Poly wire and metal gates aside, Johnson grass has farmers on the fence. On one hand, this warm season perennial grass can be a high quality feedstuff. On the other hand, Johnson grass is a competitive crop that will overwhelm forage stands. In a webinar hosted by the University of Missouri, they said the field specialists in agronomy began by noting Johnson grass positive characteristics. They kind of named this after Clint Eastwood's movie The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. It leads a pack in many ways, he said, when it comes on quality, when it comes to tonnage, where it comes to persistence and also drought tolerance. It's got all those in the bag. Results from the study by the Noble Research Institute right here in state Oklahoma at Ardmore show Johnson grass averaged 11.6% crude protein, 58% total digestibility nutrients, the TDN. Another study by the Institute compared a group of yearling steers grazing preferences to 14 forage specialists species. Johnson grass was ranked number second by these yearling steers. To utilize Johnson grass for grazing, turn livestock out when the plants are 12 to 18 inches tall, and move animals when the plant height is reduced to 5 to 6, 8 inches. There you go. The bad. Despite its merits, Johnson grass is considered a noxious weed in several states. Its aggressive reproductive patterns make it difficult to manage. There's seeds everywhere. The bad part about Johnson grass is that it reproduces from both seeds and some other stuff. It's very prolific seed producer, and it's taking light, nutrients, and water from other plants. One Johnson grass plant can produce between 30,000 and 80,000 seeds, which can be viable up to 10 years. There you go. Heaviest continuing grazing might deplete Johnson grass, but you got all frequent mowing. I don't know. As long as you mow it before it heads, it's fine. The more you mow it, the more you spread it. A bunch of it gets on top of your mower, and they spread it to the next county road, and it just keeps on going. Anyway, the ugly. The risk of prussic acid poisoning and nitrile toxicity are arguably Johnson grass worst nightmares. The former is concerned for grazing livestock, especially in drought conditions and after a frost. The latter can also cause problems in pastures, but nitrate levels remain high when Johnson grass is harvested for hay too. So always, if you got Johnson grass in anything you're harvesting for hay during the summer, always get it tested. You can take Johnson grass in like you can millet or anything else and go for it. The deal. And the only thing that's going to kill Johnson grass, unless there's something out there I don't know about, is Roundup, because it's a grass. So if you spray something else on it, it's not going to get it. Johnson grass loses its poisoning when it is cut and cured. There you go. I had a listener just text that in. Anyway, had a great day. I'll see you guys tomorrow. It's the Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO. God bless.
Hello. Here's a station you might like.
This is KECO, Elk City.